You're listening to Wheelationships.
Get your notes. We're going to walk through this last part. And I'm going to stop a couple of times and ask you if you have any questions. That's for if you have questions about what we're talking about and you really don't understand and you want to, not for you, a chance for you to ask a clever question that, you know, just to be whatever. We want to answer your questions, really do. We've been talking about the extranatural, supernatural, God-directed, God-inspired speech that is spoken in a language that you don't know and you don't understand. The Bible's term for this type of speech is tongues. Right there, that's your first blank. Tongues. It's extranatural, God-inspired speech spoken in a language you don't know and haven't learned. This is one type of speech that's talked about. The other type is prophecy. Prophecy is extranatural, God-inspired speech spoken in a language you know or have learned. But God inspires it. God directs it. It's the Holy Spirit that is giving you what to say. So we've been talking about the language you don't know, which is tongues, the last couple of weeks. And I want to finish that up because we've talked about the ways that tongues are used. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at tongues and extranatural speech as a gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you need to circle the smallest word in that sentence because it may be the most important word in that sentence. A. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is not the only gift of the Holy Spirit, nor is it the most important gift of the Holy Spirit. Every gift, here's one for you, every gift of the Spirit is to be used to make the church stronger. Every gift of the Spirit is to be used to make the church stronger. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, all these, and it's talking about gifts from the Holy Spirit, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one, to each person, to each Christian, apportions to each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 14 says, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all these things, you may need to underline the word all, let all these things be done for building up, for building up. When he says let all, it means allow for it. Okay, it can happen. If you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the emphasis really is on practicality. It's on the practical use of gifts of the Spirit. This gifts of the Holy Spirit are not bizarre or weird. They are to people that don't understand a relationship with God. They think a relationship with God is weird. They think that, you know, the fact that he would actually communicate with us. Oh, yeah, okay, you're just being weird. You know, we watch, you know, some shows and TV, I'm sure you do too, that just don't have a concept of what being a follower of Christ is all about. And so they think this is all kind of bizarre, but it's not. It's very practical. God uses gifts of the Holy Spirit to build up his body. The pastor talks a little bit about that this morning. And so whatever is done must make the church stronger. When a gift is used, it's to build up, to make the church stronger. I said a second ago that tongues are not the most important gift. What is the most important gift? The most important gift is the one that is needs to be used at the particular moment that it needs to be used. At times that may be tongues. At times that may be gifts of healings. At other times it may be a message of wisdom or a message of knowledge. Depends what is needed at that particular point. At that particular point, that becomes the most important gift because it's what God's been given to the church to use. So whether that's for teaching or ministry or worship, that's a little bit of a encapsulation of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to stop right there. Any questions about gifts of the Holy Spirit and all of that? You good?
I have a question.
Yeah.
on speaking in tongues.
Yep.
Generally, is the language used the same per person? Does that person use the same language, generally speaking?
I have no idea. The question, if you didn't hear it, is when somebody speaks in tongues, is it generally the same language that they are using every time they speak in tongues? I have no idea, because it's a language I don't know. If I could, you know, if I heard it all the time, you know, maybe I would. I don't know. I don't know. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
The speaking in tongues, I'm a great believer in it. I love mm-hmm. being used by it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious why we don't see activity of it throughout our services when we're in somebody's God.
We do. Let me, okay. I'm just checking my notes to see if I get into that a little bit later. I let me just answer right now. Okay. And I got asked almost the same question after last week. And I'll repeat kind of what I said just a moment ago. All of this is about practicality. Okay. So for practically speaking, in a church as a gathering as large as we have that right there, for some things to be done, for some gifts to be used in that setting, practically speaking, is hard, difficult, okay? Whether it's a message of wisdom or a prophecy or any of those gifts, they're difficult to be used in a large setting like that. Most often when you get into larger gatherings, you have some of the gifts that are more practically used, but the real importance is when you get into your small groups, and that's really why small groups are so important, because in smaller groups, those gifts are more easy to be used, because everybody can hear everybody. Everybody can, you know, it's more of an encouragement there. In this particular setting right here, okay, the gift of tongues being used in this setting is not really all that useful, because as we've talked about, tongues are used in promotion of worship. Okay, what we're doing here is teaching, and as Paul goes through in chapter 14, one of the things he says is tongues are not really a teaching gift; they're a worship gift. Prophecy can be used in teaching. Wisdom can be used in teaching. Knowledge can be used in teaching. And so that's where some of those gifts. And what we tend to do is we get really tied up. Pentecostals are really bad about this. And you can tell how bad we are because I've had to spend 3 weeks on this particular topic, the subject of tongues, is we get all tied up with that's the most important thing. And if we don't hear somebody speak out in tongues, then somewhere we failed. No, it's not what it means. The question I was asked is, you know, why don't we hear more people speaking in tongues? Well, why don't we see more miracles? Where are the gifts of healing? Okay. Those are as important as every other gift. And in fact, I would say we do, and a lot of times where that'll happen is at the altar when we're praying and people are coming forward, some of those gifts can be used because we're more one-on-one. Okay. Yes, sir. Sometimes we don't. I could go a little further there. I won't, but does that answer your question? Okay. Okay. All right. Again, we're talking here about gifts of the Spirit used publicly. This is a public use. All right. Then we talked about last week, the second way that tongues are used as a confirming sign of Spirit baptism. Now, if you missed last week, I really encourage you to go back and listen carefully to what I said last week about Spirit baptism. Spirit baptism is an important part of our life with Christ. Three baptisms. What are they? Water, okay. Jesus and Spirit, okay. And in order, Jesus' baptism, when the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, into the body of Christ. Water baptism, when we're baptized in water by disciples. And then spirit baptism, when Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you, you're good with Jesus baptism? How many of you are good with Jesus baptism? All right, all right. Yeah, it's a good thing, right? How many of you are good with water baptism? Okay, valid, right? Okay, is water baptism valid after? Is it another experience from Jesus baptism? Yeah, yeah, of course. Okay, spirit baptism, same thing. It's valid, and it happens. It's another experience after Jesus baptism. They're not the same thing. So we talked about that. The biblical pattern, and we talked about this last week, the biblical pattern is that God gives us a confirming sign of spirit baptism, which is the ability to speak God-inspired speech in a language that we don't know. It's a sign that confirms and gives comfort and gives courage to us, gives us confidence in our communication with God. Because, if we can communicate with God in this language that we don't know, then how much better will our communication be in language that we do know with God? And so that's some of what we talked about last week. And again, I'll stop right there. Questions? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. So, spirit baptism, not really talked about.
Sure.
I know that salvation is by faith. Can you just pray a prayer to receive the Spirit? Because I have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But it talks about the laying on of hands to receive. And is that gift of the tongues, is that something that just comes out of you without you being able to control it? Or how does that work?
That one I'm going to hold off on because we'll get more into this. I'll talk a little bit more about speaking a language that you don't know, haven't learned, as we get into this third use of tongues. But there was something you said I didn't want. It is by faith, yes. And that's one of the things I'm going to say right now. Okay. Any other questions? Now you're all afraid to ask a question. Are you going to get to it? Well, hang on. All right, I'll give you another shot in a minute. And the third way, okay, and let me, there's one more way that tongues, extranatural speech, God-inspired speech, in a language you don't know, haven't learned, is used, and that is as a method of worship and prayer, a method of worship and prayer. I started to use the word just prayer, and then I started to use the word just worship, but it's either and both. We use both things describe communicating with God. What is it when we communicate with God? It's prayer. What is it when we communicate with God? Well, sometimes it's worship. You know, sometimes it's both. You know, sometimes our prayer includes worship and vice versa. So use both words. And this use of speaking in this spiritually inspired language is used in several verses that back this up. The first is this testimony we have of foreign-speaking outsiders who were present on the day of Pentecost. And these people that spoke different languages heard believers speaking in their language. And the believers didn't know their language, but the outsiders did. And they said the believers were praising God. Acts 2:11. We hear them telling in our own tongues, in our own languages, the mighty works of God. And then 1 Corinthians 14:2, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Again, what is it when you speak to God? It's prayer or it's worship. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Now, Paul's use of the word mystery here, and if you read most of Paul's writings in Ephesians and other places, he'll use this word mysteries. And he doesn't mean a secret hidden thing that only a few people know. When he's talking about mysteries, mysteries just mean divinely revealed truth. It is truth that God reveals. What were at one time unknown hidden mysteries in the Old Testament were revealed, and they were all revealed in Christ. Things that they were cloudy and dim to people in the Old Testament, In the New Testament, they've been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And those are the mysteries we declare when we speak in the Spirit. We're declaring the greatness of God. We're declaring what he has done in Jesus Christ. We're worshiping him for those things. 1 Corinthians 14. What am I to do? Verse 15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. I want you to just take note here, with my spirit. But I will pray with my mind. So you got those two phrases, with my spirit and with my mind. I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my mind also. I'll sing with my spirit. I'll sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. So you have there praying, you have giving thanks. Paul's using this phrase, with my mind, to designate any kind of language that we know and we understand, whether it's wisdom or knowledge or prophecy or revelation or teaching. Okay, you would probably rather me teach in a language you know and understand, right? Then if I started speaking Portuguese, you know, that would not be as useful for teaching, right? Sometimes English isn't so great, but okay. Amen. All right. And he uses the phrase here, in the spirit, to designate speech and language we don't know, tongues. And he makes the point here. We should do both. It's not either or, it's both. Worshiping God and praying in the Spirit builds us up. But speaking in a language others know builds them up. And when it comes to spiritual gifts that are public, then unless that's interpreted, and with interpretation, speaking in an unknown language is perfectly fine. And if you read through there, he says it's perfectly fine as long as there's an interpretation. But if that's all you do, if all you do is speak in a language that other people don't know, then you're not going to build them up because they don't understand what you're saying. And even you don't understand what you're saying necessarily. You know what I'm saying? Your spirit is being built up. So look here at what Jude says in his letter to the church. Jude, verse 17. There's only one chapter. That's why it says 17 to 20. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Okay, does that pretty much describe what we're going through? Scoffers, own ungodly passions? Okay. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So do you want to build yourself up in your faith? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. It's important. Would you like to keep yourself in the love of God? Pray in the Spirit. Would you like to do what it says here and wait successfully for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed? Pray in the Spirit. It builds you up. I'll state it even more strongly here. Praying in the Spirit is a vital piece of your spiritual armor. Praying in the Holy Spirit is a vital piece of your spiritual armor. Many Christians don't realize that praying and worshiping in the Spirit is a vital piece of spiritual armor. But you look here what Paul says to the church at Ephesus, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, how many of you, in whatever church background you had, you know this verse? You know this passage? Is this familiar to you? Okay? All right. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, be careful here. It says, but against the rulers and against authorities. Those are not flesh and blood rulers and authorities. They're not flesh and blood. It's against cosmic powers, against spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Stop there. Stop. Look at me. We stopped right there. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They stop right there. Sword of the Spirit, word of God. Boom, we got it. Armor of God, full armor of God, except there's a comma there. That's not a period. There's a comma. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. All prayer meaning both in the Spirit and in languages you do understand. All prayer, all supplication, both kinds. Because praying in the Spirit is part of your spiritual armor. I can't even express to you how important it is. I mean, stopping at verse 17, see, everything up until through verse 17 was fulfilled in Christ. Did you know that? If you look at the spiritual armor, you can go back to Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 57, I think it is, and it describes the Messiah putting these same things on. And so we find those things fulfilled in Christ. Verse 18 is something that goes further through the Holy Spirit. If you stop at verse 17 and, you know, put the shoes on and put the breastplate on and get your sword ready, it's like getting dressed for battle and leaving your radio behind. I mean, you know, in battle, communication is a big deal. You don't want to be with your troop. You don't want to be there with your squad going into battle and nobody can talk to anybody. You don't know, your leader can't talk to you and you can't receive any direction and you're just flying blind. All your communication is shut down. Would that be good? I don't think so. That's what it's like if you stop at verse 17. Verse 18 is opening up the comms. It's putting the radio on, putting the radar on, because the Holy Spirit knows stuff you don't know. And so this explains how much Satan does not want you to participate in this. He doesn't want you fully outfitted. Okay, get all dressed up. He doesn't want you to pick up your radio and start praying in the Spirit. Because I think we forget how vital worship is to everything. Because that's, again, what we're really talking about here is worship. Tongues is an avenue of worship. It's an avenue of prayer. And he doesn't, remember, Satan was the worship leader in heaven before he got kicked out. The first murder in the Bible was the result of a dispute on worship. So it's important. Because if Satan can get us weak and powerless and disconnected in our worship, he's got something going on. And it leaves us in a very vulnerable, bad position. And as I look at it, I see it time and time again, where people that struggle in this area and they don't want to take this step of faith, Satan gets them. He does. A couple of things you need to remember regarding worship and prayer. All worship is a step of faith. All worship is a step of faith. All prayer is a step of faith. You're in a room all by yourself. Nobody else is there, and you choose to start talking out loud in English to a God you can't see and you've never seen. And if someone happens to walk by the door, they may ask, why is that person talking to themselves alone in there? What's wrong with them? Okay. Because it takes faith to believe in a God you can't see, to talk to him, to worship him in a language that you know. And that same faith is necessary to speak to God in a language that you don't know. Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So to the earlier question, is it, I accepted Jesus by faith? Yes. Do I accept baptism? Do I accept spirit baptism the same way I accepted Jesus' baptism? Yes, by faith. Remember, this is spiritual. Holy cow. This is spiritual. Stick with me, okay? I am way more important than anything you're going to do in the next 10 minutes. Not me, but what I'm saying here. This is a spiritual thing. Your mind, your will, your emotions, you invite them to take part in your worship and prayer. But just because your goosebump meter doesn't go off and you don't feel whatever, just because that doesn't go off in your soul, that doesn't mean something's not happening in your spirit. All prayer, all worship is a step of faith. And in order to get started, it's a choice that requires faith. I don't feel it, I don't see it, I don't understand it, but I'm going to cooperate and I'm going to act in faith. And when you speak in tongues, you, again, to answer part of your question, when you speak in tongues and you speak in this language you don't know, you're speaking. Just the same as if you speak in a language you do know. You're speaking. I'm just going to sit there and the Holy Spirit's going to do it. No. Just the same, you're being used in anything. Whether it's teaching, giving, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and reach in your pocket and take out your billfold and throw money in the offering, okay? That's not the way the gift of giving works. He isn't yanking your tongue around to make it happen. He's not reaching your wallet and grabbing cash out of it. It's a cooperative thing, and we talked about this a little bit, how it's incarnational. It's Holy Spirit working with these natural people. And the second thing, even though I'm way over time, the second thing to remember is in that same verse, worship, trust the God who rewards. If we take a step of faith, it means we trust God will reward us correctly. The Holy Spirit's your best friend. He's not the friend who pulls your pants down in public. Okay? He's not the kind of friend that embarrasses you. He's not the kind of friend that makes fun of you. He's the friend who he's comforting. He's helpful, he's empowering, he's loving, he's fruit-sharing, he's gift-giving. He's that kind of friend. Last week we read a few verses from Luke, and I am going to skip those verses that we were going to read, although they're really awesome. Read those later, okay? Because basically the bottom line is there, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's not going to give you a demon. He's not going to give you something bad. He's not. And by the way, serpents and scorpions in these verses are spiritual analogies. Okay, they refer to demons. Okay, you have all power over serpents and scorpions means you have powers over demons. And he said, I'm not going to give you that if you ask me for something. So don't worry about it. His benefits aren't the end; they're the means to the end. When he blesses us, it's so we can bless others, just what Pastor says this morning. When he strengthens us, it's so we can overcome. When he empowers us, it's so we can be a witness of his goodness and his grace, his mercy to people that don't know. So, I'll ask you a question. Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Do you trust the Holy Spirit? He's practical, he's not mystical. And I'll just give you these, and really I was giving you these last 6 points so that you could take them home and in your private, personal time, that you could ask God, if you have not yet received and been baptized in the Holy Spirit, to do that and ask him. And to receive his benefits, first you pursue Jesus. He's who you're seeking. You're not seeking things. You're seeking Jesus. You're seeking He and his Holy Spirit are one. Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. You're seeking Jesus. Secondly, ask Jesus to baptize you in his Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer. He wants to baptize you far more than you want to be baptized. Then receive. Receive his Holy Spirit. And say it to him. Don't keep asking. Once you've asked, you don't need to beg and grovel and all that. Ask him. Receive. And then use the extra natural language. As you praise and as you worship him and as you're seeking him, you may receive an impression, you don't know what it is, you don't understand it. Hey, you don't understand it, okay? That's part of extranatural language. You don't understand it, okay? But you, by faith, speak out anyway. Ask Jesus to use you in Holy Spirit gifts. This is not all about speaking a language you don't know. You ought to ask every day. When you walk into Walmart, I do it every time I walk into Walmart. Holy Spirit, I might see Shannon, I don't know. I need your gifts. You may have me minister to someone here. I want to know, okay? So ask Jesus to use your Holy Spirit gifts and live connected to the Holy Spirit, okay? This isn't like a grand finale of he baptized me and we're done. No, he baptizes us so that we can be used and do what some of what Pastor talks about this morning in the sermon, okay? I'm going to pray for you. We're going to get you out of here. Father, we thank you for how you empower us and how you provide for us and how much you love us and you want a relationship with us. You provided your Holy Spirit to be our friend, to be our comforter, to be our guide, Lord, that we can communicate with you every day. When we're alone in the car, when wherever we are, we can worship and praise you and then live that out in front of other people so that they can be drawn to you as well. Lord, I pray that you would do that for each one here as they seek you, as they seek who you are and a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.